You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is There All the Time. And I'd like to start in Deuteronomy chapter 31. So if you can turn to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy near the front. Somebody said to me, why don't they put the Bible in alphabetical order? Sure does seem like it'd be easier, but sometimes you have a table of contents in the front of your Bible that has it alphabetically. So if you don't know where it is, you can find it pretty quick, page number there. So Deuteronomy 31:6, God talking to Moses. And look what he says, be strong and of good courage, do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. So the Old Testament, God was with people, the Holy Spirit would come on people, but not in someone like in the New Testament. He is the one who goes with you, he will not leave you nor forsake you. Okay? So these are things that if you don't know, and you say, well, I know that, but if you don't really believe that, then you can start feeling like, I'm praying, it's going nowhere, I'm not getting any answers. God has left me. He has left the building. He has left the planet. He does not care about me anymore. He has not only left me, he has forsaken me. He didn't care about me anymore. If you're a Christian, it's not possible. He will never leave you or forsake you. You say, well, this is Old Testament. I'm about to read you something out of the New Testament to back this up on both sides. It's just a fact. God does not come to you, make possible a relationship with you, and then abandon you for some reason. You say, but I've sinned. I've done all this stuff. No one can separate us from him. And there are churches out there that'll tell you, oh, no, if you do this or that, or if you commit one of these kind of sins, you're out, or you got to do, you know, climb so many steps, count so many whatevers, say so many prayers. I mean, it's not in here. Go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. So Joshua, it succeeds, comes after Moses. Moses doesn't take him in the promised land. Joshua 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. Moses' assistant saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. It makes you want to go on a very long walk. If God tells you everywhere your foot sets foot is yours, keep walking. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Now, just to that point, Joshua had grown up, had seen the wilderness, everything. He saw how God was with Moses. So when God says to Joshua, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Same thing. No man will be able to stand before you. And then the last statement, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Same thing with you. So we let our circumstances, how we feel, we got problems, we got stress, we're screaming out to God. I asked a guy at a men's gathering recently, I said, you know, you had some problems, had some challenges. And I said, what percent of all of your problems are just because you're an idiot? And he said about 95%. He said, well, that's not very nice. Look, I'm not always trying to be nice. I'm trying to get your attention and say, if you want change, you got to make different choices, right? There is no change without choice. There is no change without saying, I'm not going to go this way. I'm going to go this way. I'm changing my mind. I'm going to repent. I'm going to do what God says, not what I say anymore. And then you say, wow, my life is changing. Yeah, because you made different choices. And the first choice you got to make is him. So God comes along and says to Moses, to Joshua, but he says it to us as well. Now I'm going to jump and then we're going to go back to the left. Go to Hebrews 13, verse 5. And in Hebrews 13, verse 5, the context here in this verse and around it here, but in this verse especially, let your conduct, in other words, the way you live, be without covetousness. Stop looking around, fantasizing, and being upset because somebody's got something you don't have. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. How many people get themselves in a mess because their neighbors all got something they don't have, so they go get something they don't have with money they don't have, and now they don't have. And now the stress in that house is through the roof, which they can't afford either sometimes. And then what does he add to the end of this? For he himself has said, now he's quoting here back to the Old Testament, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So what has God got to do or say to you before you go, okay, so he's not going to ditch on me. No matter what I do, he is not going to leave me. You may leave him, he's not leaving you. And every time a person that believes in God, walks with God, knows God, becomes a Christian, you say, well, I'm out of here. I'm going to leave God. You can't leave God behind because he's right there above your behind. I mean, I don't want to, you know, he's in you. He's not just with you. You don't say, oh, I'm going to go. I had this conversation the other day with somebody about churches and that we call these the rooms that churches meet in sanctuaries. It's not a sanctuary. You're the sanctuary. You can't go to church. You can only be the church. So he doesn't live in a building anymore. I'm the building. So if when I become a Christian, when I became a Christian, he moved into my physical body and he's saying, I'm not moving. I'm not leaving. I will never leave you or forsake you. That means when I run away from him, I take him with me on the escape. And then you get to wherever you thought you were going to go and run away from him. And he goes, boo, I'm still here. You know, whatever he says, you know, you're a haunted house, haunted by a Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit's like, dude, what are you doing? Where do you think you're going to go? Nothing can separate you from me. No height, no depth, no nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So then you get tired of running and you say, well, I got to go home. You're home. He's right there. And we'll get to that in a minute. Go to John chapter 15, verse 5. This whole thing about vines and branches. I'm the vine. You are the branches. So Jesus is saying, I'm the vine. I'm the main source of what you need. I'm the vine. It's all coming through me. You're the branches. He who abides in me, you stay connected to the vine, and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You can do nothing without him. Now, I got to tell you this little piece. I mentioned the other day the peach tree at my house. Peach tree, the peaches are so huge, so huge. The branches are falling down. Then there's a storm. Two branches broke. Somebody at church now is wanting the wood to cook with. I'm like, okay, you can have it because I wouldn't know what to do with peach wood. So I'm out mowing the other day with these peaches on this tree, not ready to pick yet. And my neighbor across the alley, I'm out there mowing. He's standing at my fence, standing there. I'm like, dude, what are you doing at my fence? And so I turn the mower off and say hello. He says, you got red peaches. I said, yep. He says, I'll pay money for those peaches. He says, don't let them go bad on that tree. I said, no, you don't have to pay them. I'll get you some peaches. He said, man, those are some big, great peaches. So I go and Rebecca and I are actually that day picking these peaches, like a bushel of peaches came off of that tree. So this man is never out back behind his house. Okay. He gets out of his car. It's across the alley. He goes in his house. He's gone. Well, he just over there, just, you know, piddling around the back door, looking over and piddling around the back door. And he sees all these peaches on the ground that we're picking and sorting. So that's, you know, Rebecca got me a bag and I walked over there and gave him a bag of peaches. Oh, he said, it's like Christmas. Would to be that my life drew as much attention to Jesus as my peaches do to my property. Why is there not more fruit on our lives that draws people to us saying, I'd like some of that fruit? Now, I think I told you that the storm broke some branches. I didn't cut those branches. They're split. They're going to have to be cut, but maybe I'm wrong about this. But I have not cut those branches off because I'm hoping, I propped them up, put some stuff under it. Somebody suggested that. And so the sap or whatever it is still going from the trunk out to those limbs. And I'm hoping it's getting some kind of nourishment so they'll ripen and I don't lose them. That's what the Bible's talking about. You can't bear fruit if you're not connected to the root, which is the vine. It's not going to ever happen. You can act like a Christian. You can simulate peace, joy, love, you know, long-suffering, all this stuff, patience. You can act like you got it, but you'll never have it without being connected to Him. So let's go back to this house. So Rebecca and I have never owned a house before. God worked it out. Crazy story. City limits of Dallas. Big yard. It's just big, big, big yard. So by this house, the original part of the house was built in 1880. I've never redone a house in my life. We thought we were going to buy this house and we're going to slap a little paint on inside and put a little something in the kitchen. And next thing we know, it's to the studs. All the plumbing's coming out, iron plumbing, 1880s. We start pulling sheetrock down, layers of wallpaper, shiplap appears. So we leave the shiplap. Long story short, we redo the house. But almost immediately when we moved in this house, I'm like, there has to be water. It's got a septic tank. We're still using the septic tank. I think I'm going to fix that real quick, but don't recommend that. But there's got. So I contacted the state of Texas. And I said, there's a creek 200 yards across the street. This creek is too far. You'd build the house on the creek. You wouldn't build it 200 yards from the creek. There has to be water here. No, sir. They looked at all the plats, whatever it is. And no one would, there's no water there. I'm like, that's not possible. 1880, you don't build a house if you don't have water. So I kind of gave up. I'd been looking around, nothing. The deck is old. Rebecca fell through one of the slats. A bunch of men came out, helped us take that deck out. That deck was gone quick. So then it was time to put the new deck in. And a friend brings this Kubota tractor. I've never run one of these in my life. Leaves it there. So off the deck was a sidewalk kind of thing with old bricks that looked like they had been laid years ago. And they were probably flat when they were laid, but the roots, it was all jank. And so I'm learning how to do this Kubota, this front end loader. So till about 9:30 one night, I'm out there with the tractor trying to skim the ground and pop these bricks up and load them up. So then, I was doing that. 9:30, I thought the neighbors are going to get tired of beep, 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 beep. So I quit. Wake up the next morning, I go outside, and there's a hole this big in the ground. And I'm like, well, I did not dig a hole. I had scraped a piece of concrete, I guess, with a hole in it. I get a flashlight and put it down in that hole. There's a 26-foot hand-hewn well with stone walls, beautiful stone walls, all the way down in 5 feet of water. Now, why am I telling you about that? It was there all the time. You can't live without water. It had to be somewhere. I just hadn't found it yet. Now, I'm about to read you a bunch of verses about things that you may not understand, but I'm telling you, the stuff you need to live the Christian life, you have. You may not know you have it. And if the second Jesus moves into your life, what you need, it has been there all the time. So turn to Romans chapter 8. Now, again, I'm going to read you these verses. And I want you to be encouraged, though you may get a little frustrated and discouraged. The way I understand this, and I explain it using my daughters getting born, especially my first daughter, because she's the first one that was born and I saw this. When Elizabeth came out of my wife's body, she had everything she was ever going to have. She had no idea what she got, and some of it would have to be developed. But we did not take her back to a hospital for accessories. That was put pretty... I thought that was okay. It was all in that little package. So my understanding is when you become a Christian, you get all of God that you're ever going to get. You just have no idea what you've got. So the sooner you have people around you who will walk with you and say, okay, you know you need water. Yes. Here's where the water is. It's not a well. He's the well. He's the water. And if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. Never. Why didn't somebody show me that water? I'm showing you that water. So you catch them early, you teach them the basic stuff, and then they don't have these years of chaos unless they run away, which can happen. The prodigal son was a son when he left the house, but he came home because there's no place like home. Romans 8, 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What in the world are you thinking? Oh, God's withholding something from me. If he gave his only son to you, what would he be thinking to withhold anything else? That's not who he is. He's not just on your inside. He's on your side. He wants the best for you. No one wants better for you, for me, than Jesus. Nobody. 2 Peter 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. And then let me comment and then we'll keep reading. Just that much. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. So everything that you need for life, for godliness, it's in him. Get to know Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. Read the scriptures. Before you read the scriptures, say, Jesus, talk to me. Show me. His normal MO is not to speak audibly to his children. The Holy Spirit can tell you things, but when you read it in black and white or red, if your book's got that color in it, whatever you read there, that is the word of God. So you read it and say, God, this cannot be contradicted. This is who you are. This is what you're telling me. I can bank my life on this. His divine power has given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. So when you have Jesus, you know Jesus, you walk with Jesus, everything you need to live the life he intended, you have it. It's him. It's a person who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. This word exceedingly great is a word where we get our word mega, but it's the superlative of the Greek word megas, which means great, strong, preeminent, great. It's boom. So what has he given us? By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you have the power. You have precious promises. So when you read something and he says, I will never leave you or forsake you, you know what that is? That's a precious promise. You lock onto that. You go, that's for me, isn't it, Jesus? Yeah, that's for you. I'm not going anywhere. People say, oh, God is moving. No, he's not. He's going to stay right here. But then we go, well, it's not working for me. I heard of a preacher and he's saying this newfangled stuff. I'm going to go listen to that. I love all these social media guys. There's one guy right now on social media and he'll stand in his kitchen holding these yellow looking things. Like this is 10 pounds of fat, right? It didn't look so bad covered up with me, but you know, him holding it, not so good. And he's got all, you can eat what you want to eat. And he, you know, it's all this, some move the coconuts. Well, that's the answer. If you eat crap, you're going to feel like crap. And if you're not moving, you're going to die. Right? You say, well, I think this is some new secret thing. You know, there's no secret if it involves discipline. Ask some quarterback, what'd you do all summer? Oh, I just laid by the pool in Mexico and I'm going to training camp. They're working their butt off all summer. You're not going to live the life you're looking for without Jesus and without having a relationship with Jesus and reading the scriptures and asking the Holy Spirit to unpack this stuff. And if you're wise enough to really get that, and we're wise enough as mature, quote, I love this, mature believers. People hate this. If you have been a Christian for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and you have never discipled someone, you are not a mature Christian. I don't know what you are, but that's not what you are. And if you've been a Christian for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and you've never led anybody to Jesus, unless you're in a backside of China and ain't nobody responding, that's not a mature believer. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. That's what my book says. You say, oh, you're being mean. No, and you're being immature because you know what I'm saying is true. You don't like it because you're not mature. You may be all impressive. Ask Jesus if he is impressed with your life. Ask Jesus if the fruit is from him. It's produced by his spirit. One more, Romans 10. And you say, well, I'm not a Christian. I do know some Christians, and man, they got big peaches on their tree. Their life's like different. I want that. Like, okay. They say, but I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. Look at Romans 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. So the word that you need, whatever you think you need to say, the word is in your mouth, it's on the tip of your tongue, and it is in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. And here's how it works. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And what have I been saying for decades up here? People say, it can't be that easy. And I always say, what? Easy for who? It's easy for you. It's not easy for him. They strung him up to make it so easy. Dies on a cross. Becomes sin. He doesn't just take on the world's sins. It says he became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he dies, buried, raised from the dead. And then the Holy Spirit comes along and says, look, dude, I'm going to give you the words to say and to believe. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised from the dead, it says in my book, you will be saved. Now, why is that true? For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The kid that got saved here in the lobby the other day, after the service, I'm talking to him, his buddy's standing there, and his buddy's mom and dad, I think it was, it's just the five of us. Some other people were overhearing this. And I shared the gospel with him. He says, well, I have no interest in being a religious person. I said, me neither. Not that kind. I said, I'm talking to you about a relationship. Would you be interested in this? He said, yes. He bows his head and prays. And then there's like 15 or so people on the edge of us. And I said, okay, everybody over here, everybody come over here. And I said, Trevor, tell them what just happened. Now, this is a few seconds old Christian. And he said, I just prayed to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Amen. He said, where'd he get that? When God moves in, you have words, you have ways to live now. Everything changes. And then somebody becomes a Christian and they go, why didn't I do this years ago? Let me tell you something. He was there all the time.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Let me read you some lyrics to an old song. Time after time, I was searching for peace in some void. I was trying to blame all my ills on this world I was in. Surface relationships used me till I was done in, but all the while someone was waiting to free me from sin. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Never again will I look for that fake rainbow's end. Now that I've found the answers, my life is just starting to rhyme. Sharing each new day with him is a breath of fresh life. Oh, what I've missed. He was waiting right there all the time. He was there all the time. That well was there all the time in my yard. And all that I've got to discover about who Jesus is and what God has for my life has been here all the time. I am just not taking the time to build that relationship and ask him to show me and maybe submitting to someone else's leadership and discipleship in my life to help me. You can get where you're trying to go without directions, but it's amazing how much quicker you can get if you ask someone for direction and they know where you're trying to go and they tell you, and then you get there. Ask for help. Let someone help you. If you're not a Christian, he's been there all the time, on the outside waiting to get in. If you are a Christian, you say, I don't even believe in God anymore. He still believes in you. He's been there all the time.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.